The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Please turn with me in your folder to your catechetical review for today, the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Redemption. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as you are able.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We boldly confess the Christian faith using the Nicene Creed on page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. Good to see you guys this morning. Can you guys tell me what trust is? Okay, that's good. Believing in faith, trusting that God will do what he says, right? Anybody else? Elizabeth? Yeah, trusting in somebody that they're going to keep their word, and trusting even though you might not be able to see it or understand how it's going to happen. Do you want to see trust? Do you want to see trust working? Elizabeth, will you help me? Do you trust me? Okay. Turn around. I'm going to stand behind you and I'm going to catch you. And you're going to fall backwards into my arms. Yeah. That's a trust fall. That's exactly right. Do you have to trust me? Yes, because what could I do?
You can.
I could back up and let you fall, couldn't I?
Yeah.
But am I going to do that? No, I'm not. And you trust that I'm going to do it, even though you can't see it. You want to see trust in action? See that? She didn't even move her feet. She trusted that what I said, I would do. Now, we heard that trust is also believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And trust is sometimes not easy. In the Old Testament lesson for today, God says to Abraham, trust me. Did Abraham?
He did.
This is an amazing story. You better come over here and look at this picture. So Abraham is an old man, and remember, Isaac is his son, and Isaac was a gift from God because Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids, right? And God gave them Isaac. Right, that's the story. God said, that's the account. God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, take your son and sacrifice him. You know what sacrifice means?
Yes, it means kill.
It means kill him. And God said to do this. Right. And you know what Abraham did? Did he say, nope, no, I'm not going to do it. I love my son too much. Abraham took Isaac and he took the wood, and he took the knife, and he had the fire, and he was all ready to do it. He was going to kill his son. Do you know why?
It was a test,
but Abraham trusted that God was going to do something. Abraham trusted God, and he knew, what did Abraham believe? He believed that God is going to raise his son from the dead right after he sacrificed him. So Abraham is ready to do it. And then the angel of the Lord, and do you know who this angel was? Who was it? No, it wasn't Gabriel. It says the angel of the Lord, it was Jesus before he was born into our world. Jesus is there talking to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I know that you love God and you trust him. Don't sacrifice your son. And what did Abraham find caught in the weeds, caught in the thistle? It was a lamb, a ram. Yep, it was caught there. And, and Abraham sacrificed the ram instead. But it's really interesting. It is Jesus who tells Abraham, I know that you love God. Don't sacrifice your son. And what's Jesus ultimately going to be? Jesus is going to be, he is going to be sin. He is going to be the perfect lamb. Look up there. Jesus is going to be the perfect lamb of God that is sacrificed for the sins of the whole world.
And if you look up there, that's the lamb's blood. It actually making
The whole world, all the nations of the world are there. That's right. God asks us to trust him, and he doesn't just ask us. He gives us faith in baptism to trust that what he says is true. Does God love you? Does he want you to trust that? Does God forgive your sins? He does it through Jesus. Does he want you to trust that? Does God say, I'll be with you always, everywhere you go? Yes. Does he want us to trust that? Does God promise one day he's going to take you home to be with him? Does he want us to trust that? And he gives us faith in baptism to do that. What a great gift it is. Even sometimes when God asks us to do hard things, he promises to be right there with us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our sacrifice and taking away our sin and giving us faith to trust in you and your promises always. In your name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. And we continue with our sermon hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you that the absolute promise is ours, that in our testing, in our suffering, you promise to be with us and will supply for all of our needs. Bless us now and strengthen us in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Vaughn and I moved to St. Louis a number of years ago for seminary, there was this looming fear that we had. Not seminary itself, but driving in St. Louis traffic. Two Eastern South Dakota people who are far more accustomed to gravel roads now dropped in the middle of St. Louis driving on four-lane freeways terrified us. What would we do? How would we get around? How would we make it work? It was the encouragement of others and simply the necessity to go to work that pushed us out of our fear. And it wasn't long, and we figured out how to do it, how to drive in St. Louis. We figured out what was called a St. Louis yellow, which meant the yellow light when it came on the traffic light was longer than most. We figured all of those things out. Testing leads to trusting. Ask anyone, and you all have endured this, about the fear of physical therapy and the pain that might happen with it. Recovering from whatever ailment, dealing with cancer and the side effects and the chemo and the radiation. The fear builds up and you think, I can't do this. It's too painful. It's too much. I won't be able to survive it. But then, over time, after you have, after you realize that God has surrounded you with his gifts and given you the strength, you realize you can go on. You can do one more. You know very well that it will bring pain. You know it's suffering. You know it is not easy, and you don't want to do it. But you know you can. Because you have. Testing leads to trusting. Last week, we talked a lot about God testing. And we used Abraham as example. Dr. Luther reminds us God tempts no one. Now remember, temptation always wants to pull you away from God's promises. Temptation always wants you to rely on you, on yourself. Temptation wants you to avoid suffering at all costs. Testing is God's way of having us lean into his promises and stay there. Testing leads to trusting. Abraham and Sarah were being tested. Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The temptation for Abraham and Sarah would be to let their emotions and their fears make the decision according to what God has said to do. God, he is my son. He's my only son, the son of my old age. We could never take his life. God, you said that you would make my family into a great nation, and that will never happen if I kill the only heir to my family. The testing of Abraham shows how much that he trusted God. He traveled the 3 days to Mount Moriah. He had the fire and the knife and the wood, and the sacrifice was walking right along with him as he went. When they arrived there, Abraham said to the servants, "Listen to the faith. Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you." Abraham fully expected that after he had sacrificed his son, God would raise him to life again, and they both would return home together. That didn't happen because Abraham had super-duper Old Testament faith, which is somehow different than the faith that we have been given. It happened because Abraham's faith trusted in God. And in his testing, He had seen God keep his promises. As Abraham was ready to slay his son, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, spoke to him. "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham was tested, and he was faithful in doing what God said. Abraham thought he knew what God was going to do. God had a different plan. God would indeed supply the sacrifice. It would be the ram at first caught there by his horns in the thicket. Ultimately, the sacrifice would be the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. It would not be Isaac. It would be his own dear son, the one that God loves, who would be the sacrifice for all mankind. Dear saints, don't be confused about what I'm preaching here. I'm not preaching obedience to Christ, and then God will bless you and take away all of your suffering. That is a lie that Satan wants you to believe. That teaching is always based in the law. It's always based in you and what you do. You do this. You be obedient to God, and then God will do this for you. That teaching trusts in your work, in your obedience, first and most. What we see in Abraham's Old Testament faith is God-given faith that clings to God and his promises when things are going well and when they're not. That faith was given to Abraham, that he would trust God and his promises even when Abraham himself has failed miserably. Remember the testing of Abraham when God said, "You're going to have a son," and he and Sarah devised a plan that he would sleep with Sarah's handmaiden because Sarah was old and barren? That didn't work. That wasn't what God had in mind. If our faith is centered in our obedience, what happens when we fail? What happens when God does not respond to our obedience the way that we think he should? What happens when our testing, or we can certainly call it our suffering, doesn't end? If our faith is centered in our obedience, then God and his law will be turned upside down, and our failures will always be apparent, and we will simply be left with no hope. We'll be left with despair and anger over God because he isn't doing. "I did my part, God. Where are you?" That's not faith. When our faith is in Christ alone, your testing, your suffering, and all of that will lead to trusting God and his promises to you even more. When we look back at God's Old Testament people, we can surely see how God tested them. They're slaves in the land of Egypt for 400 years. And God sends one final test. He says to the Israelites, "Take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and slaughter it. Take its blood and put it on the doorpost. And then eat the lamb. And that night the angel of death will pass over you, and you will be free, and you will see your salvation." And they were. The next morning, freedom came. They were faithful, God was faithful, and he provided for them. They're free, they're on their way out of Egypt, they're celebrating, and they look in front of them, and there is the Red Sea. And behind them, they can see the dust from Pharaoh and his chariots coming to kill them all. And they trusted in God's promises. And God, right there, in the midst of this, where there is no earthly way out of this, God uses Moses and he parts the Red Sea. And his people, Israel, walk through water for safety and forgiveness and out the other side. And they walk through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground. It's not because they never sinned. It's not because their faith was better than than the Egyptians. It's because they believed in God and his promises, and they trusted that God would deliver them in their time of testing. God's people stand at the Red Sea. They see the army. They see the angel of death pass over them. Over and over again, they can look back and see God was faithful in our time of testing. God testing us today leads us to trust in him, even in the uncertainty of our future. We can look back at God testing Abraham and his chosen Hebrew people, and what we see is faithfulness on the part of God and faithfulness on the part of the Hebrews, who trusted that God would keep his word. Rescued from death through the water, rescued through the lamb and the blood on the door, they see over and over again God keeping his promises. In their testing, they learned to trust because God was faithful. The perfect lamb was slaughtered, his blood was put on the door, it was eaten, and the angel of death passed over. Jesus sits down with his disciples, and he says, "Remember the Passover." And he takes the bread and says, "Take and eat. This is my body given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. This blood is the blood of the New Testament, the new promise given to you, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." The New Testament promises for us are the Old Testament promises of God's faithfulness shown to us once again. Don't forget Abraham and Isaac. This account is certainly more than just an Old Testament account of God showing his faithfulness to Abraham. This account clearly points us to what God has in mind for us. The promise, it is a promise to you that God will supply the final and the complete sacrifice, just as he said. If you dive into the account here of Abraham and Isaac, everything in it points to the cross. The mountain of Moriah, where Abraham and Isaac went to, is the very place where Jerusalem was built, where the lamb was sacrificed. The only son of Abraham, the one he loved, that would carry the wood of his own sacrifice, Jesus would carry the wood of his cross and be that sacrifice once and for all mankind. The ram caught thorns of the thicket is the clear picture of the Lamb of God with a thorn on his head as he walks to the cross. Abraham and Isaac traveled for 3 days. Jesus did the same. For 3 days through his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion and his suffering and his death and his burial. And on that third day, just as he promised, raised from the dead to see that God has kept his promise, he has offered the sacrifice, he has brought the sacrifice back to life for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and to show you clearly that in your testing, in your suffering, he will supply the Lamb, and he will supply your forgiveness. The testing of your faith, the suffering you endure, are truly gifts from God because testing leads to trusting. I think we better hear that again. The suffering you endure are truly gifts from God because testing leads to trusting. It's not an easy thing to say. It's not what the world says. But it's the promise from our Savior to you that as you suffer, your Savior will be there and he will rescue you just as he's promised. When you are tested, when you suffer, look back. Look back through the accounts of the Old Testament and see over and over again how God was faithful and he supplied the needs for his people. The account of God testing his people clearly point us to his faithfulness. And then look ahead. Look here. The water that the Israelites walked through is the water now of baptism that washes us and makes us his own, with the promises that I will be with you, I will rescue you. I will make you my child, a child and an heir of heaven, of the King and his divine family, and I will be with you always. The blood and the body of the sacrificed Lamb of God is here for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. When his word is preached, it is the same word that was given to Abraham and to the others, a word of promise and hope, fullness. When we doubt and fear and wonder where God is, repent. Because that's your old Adam, your old nature, trying to pull you away, tempting you to believe in yourself and not in the promises of God and his suffering with you and for you. He's made a promise to you in baptism, and he will keep his promise. When we see the cross clearly, we see the length that God was willing to go to rescue you, to forgive you, and to give you peace. Because of Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, you are eternally and totally forgiven, and he promises to walk with you in every testing, in every trial, in every suffering, because testing brings trust that God keeps his word for you. There is nothing to condemn you or separate you from Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart. Please be seated. We continue with the offering. Thank you.